Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. You may be seated. Last Lord's Day afternoon, we started this prayer, and we looked at the preface that Jesus gave this prayer as a model, an example to his disciples, and we started out this prayer with Jesus instructing us to understand that we pray to God as our Father, a Father who provides, a Father who disciplines, a Father who protects. And today we come to the first of six petitions. Some number it is seven petitions, depending on how you divide up the passage. But we come to the first of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, which is, Hallowed be thy name, or Holy be your name. And we see here that prayer begins with a reverential knowledge of who the one is that we are addressing in prayer. Again, I'm gonna draw quite heavily on Thomas Watson, the Puritan Thomas Watson, and he called this the first and great petition. He said it contains the most weighty thing in religion, which is God's glory. Hallowed be thy name. When Jesus refers in this prayer to God's name, of course he was pointing to what stands behind the name. Hallowed be God's name, hallowed be God's essence, his character, his attributes. Because coming out of the Hebrew context, the name was sacred, the name was important. One's name conveys one's identity. The writer of the Proverbs could say that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And all the names of the patriarchs in the Old Testament have significance. Abram has his name changed to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. When Jacob is born, he comes out after his brother Esau, and he's grabbing onto Esau's heel, and he's called Jacob, which means the supplanter, or one who grasps the heel. Could also be the deceiver. And Jacob has that sense about him. He's always fooling Esau and taking his birthright and scheming. But then later on, as he matures and he spends the night wrestling with God, by the river Jabbok, God changes his name to Israel, which means prince with God, or one who strives with God. And so the name is important. The name reveals the identity. It is a high point in sacred history when God reveals his own name to Moses before the burning bush in Exodus 3:14. As Moses asked, God, if I go to Egypt, whom shall I say sent me? And he says, tell them, I am that I am, has sent you. And so this is God revealing his name, Yahweh, Jehovah. I am that I am. I will be that I will be. The Hebrews would not utter God's name aloud, but they would refer to him with circumlocutions. They would call him Adonai, the Lord. Or sometimes, many times in the Hebrew Bible, he's just referred to as Hashem, the name. God is the name. To utter someone's name was to say or to confess something about his character. And so Jesus is saying that we should begin our prayer life by hallowing God's name. The verb here for to hallow in Greek is hagiazo, to make holy. And we noticed before that God is usually the one who makes things holy. He makes saints holy through the process of sanctification. But here, Jesus says we should pray and ask that God's name be made holy. And so it's like 1 Peter 3:15, when Peter had said, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set God's name apart as holy." Thomas Watson said, "To hallow is to set apart a thing from the common use to some sacred end." And so, hallowing God's name is to give Him high honor and reverence. It is to render His name sacred. Think about it for a second. We cannot make God greater than He already is. God is already all-surpassing in His greatness. We can't make Him any more holy. We can't make Him any greater than He is. We can only make ourselves and others more keenly aware of His greatness. Hallowed be Thy name. Thomas Watson suggested no less than 16 things we can do to hallow God's name. Let me share some of these. First, we hallow His name by professing His name, by confessing our faith in Him. Secondly, we hallow His name by having a high appreciation and esteem of Him, setting Him highest in our thoughts. Let me ask, is God's name, God's character and His identity, is it the first thing you think of when you rise each morning? Is it the last thing you think of when you, before you fall off to sleep each night? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thirdly, we hallow His name when we trust in Him. Unbelief and doubt does not hallow His name. A lot of people these days laud and they praise uncertainty. These are postmodern days. We can't be certain about anything. We have to take an agnostic position on everything. Taking an agnostic position on the existence of God is not to hallow His name. There's nothing laudatory about doubt and disbelief in the face of this God. Fourth, we hallow His name by never mentioning it, but with the highest reverence. And now we're back to the third commandment, aren't we? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. And we could rehearse all the things we talked about when we dealt with that, about not using curse words, profanity, not calling out God's name in vanity. Fifth, we hallow His name when we love His name. When we love the God of the Bible. Just as a wife has a special and exclusive love for her husband and a husband for his wife, so we are to hallow God's name. We are to love God's name by having a special affection for Him that is exclusive to Him and that is shared with none other. The highest affection. And so when we do this, we hallow His name. Six, we hallow His name when we give Him holy and spiritual worship. That is, when we give Him worship as He demands it, and not as we create it from our own invention. Watson says, "It is the purity of worship that God loves better than the pomp." Our job is not to be creative, inventive, seek to tickle our fancy or please our flesh, but to simply do what God desires and to give Him spiritual worship. This hallows His name. Seventh, we hallow His name when we hallow His day, the Lord's day, when we remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, these are simple things. I was having a conversation with someone recently, and they were sharing with me some difficulties. And, you know, I just said to them at one point, I said, "You know, I almost feel as if you think I should tell you that you need to go out and do something extraordinary for God. you know, you should maybe sell everything you have and move to some third world country and serve the poor or something like that. Or maybe if you would pray and God would do some extraordinary miracle, you would see some amazing thing happen. But the truth is, God is most pleased in these days to work through ordinary means. You want to grow in Christ? Read your Bible. Pray. Join with the saints in worship. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Simple things. There's a scene in 2 Kings where Naaman the Syrian has leprosy. And he has a servant girl who's an Israelite. And she says, there's a prophet in Israel who can heal you. And so he says, great. He goes to Israel. He goes to the king. I hear you have a prophet that I can be healed of leprosy. The king's like, what? You think we can just heal anybody from leprosy? And the prophet is Elisha. And Elisha comes along and says, oh, he says, have you forgotten there is a prophet in Israel? And Naaman comes to Elisha. And Elisha says, this is what you need to do. Go dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan. And Naaman is offended. Don't we have rivers back at home in Syria that are as grand as the Jordan? Grander than the Jordan? And his servant says to him, listen, if Elisha had asked you to do something great, would you have done it? He asked you to do something that was simple and ordinary. Just go to the river and dip yourself 7 times. And Naaman humbles himself. And he goes and he does it. And part of the spiritual message of that is sometimes the answer to our problems is not some elaborate, extraordinary miracle that has to take place. It's just availing ourselves of the ordinary means that God has provided. And so we hallow God's name when we do things like remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Eighth, we hallow God's name when we ascribe the honor of all we do to Him. Will you strive to give God glory for all things? Will you be happy not to take any credit for anything good that happens to yourself? And would you instead deflect it all to the Lord? Psalm 115, verse 1 says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Ninth, we hallow God's name by obeying Him. A child reveals the respect that he has for his parents to the degree that he obeys them, even in the least command that the parents give. And so too do we show our obedience, our respect, our hallowing of God's name when we obey Him, even in the least command. Tenth, we hallow His name when we lift up His name in praises. Watson again says, in prayer we act like men, in praise we act like angels. 11th, we hallow God's name when we sympathize with Him. I thought this was an interesting concept. What does it mean for us to sympathize with God? We sympathize with God when we are grieved. When we are grieved by things that grieve God. When we see His church brought low. When we see doctrine brought low. When we see false doctrine being promoted. And we are grieved. We are hallowing God's name because we are sympathizing with Him. Because we know His name is suffering under things that are being wrongly taught or done in that name. 12th, we hallow God's name when we give the same honor to God the Son that we give to God the Father. When we believe in Christ's deity, we rightly hallow God's triune name. 13th, we hallow His name by standing up for His truth. Ian Watson said, it is better to have truth without peace than peace without truth. Some people would make peace the be-all and end-all. Don't rock the boat. Don't talk about things that are controversial. Don't strive for nearness of obedience. Just leave things alone. But to leave things alone is not to hallow God's name. To stand up for the truth is to hallow His name. 14th, we hallow God's name by making as many proselytes or converts to Him as we can. What is it that fuels our evangelism? Why do we want to share the gospel with people? Because we want more people to know the greatness of God, and we want more people to give glory to God, and God's name is hallowed when we have a passion for evangelizing. There are sometimes people who will discredit little efforts at evangelism. Maybe you've heard the story of the naturalist Loren Isley, who was walking down the seashore one day, and he saw that there had been a storm, and it had washed up a bunch of starfish on the shore. And he saw a fellow walking down the shoreline, taking the starfish and one or two at a time, throwing them back into the ocean. And he came upon this fellow and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm taking these starfish and I'm throwing them back in the ocean. If I don't do it, they're out here, they're going to die." And Isley said, "Don't you realize," he said, "this beach trick goes on for miles and miles." He said, there are tens of thousands of starfish out here. Do you think, really, that you're going to be able to make any difference by throwing back a handful?" Fellow thought for a moment, looked at the one that was in his hand, flung it as far out into the ocean as he could, and he said, "Well, it sure made a difference to that one." Our efforts look puny in the eyes of the world. The objects are against us are significant. But to the one or two who hear the gospel and respond to it in faith, it makes all the difference in the world. And part of the reason it makes all the difference is because God's glory is magnified as one more person glorifies the God who is His Creator and His Savior. This also fuels our discipleship, especially within our family. Why do we want to disciple our children? So that God's name can be hallowed in their lives. Again, Watson said, "Let us make our houses Bethels, places where God's name is called upon." 15th, we hallow God's name when we prefer the honor of His name before the dearest things. We must be content to have our own name eclipsed, that His name might share the more in glory. And 16th, we hallow His name by our holy conversation. And by conversation, it means our holy course of life. Not just what we speak about, but how we act, what we do. Can you pray honestly that God's name would be thus hallowed in your life? Would you begin your conversation with God by asking that His name would be holy, that He would be at the highest point of your thoughts, that you would be setting Him apart in every aspect of your life? Is this the way your prayer life with God begins? Jesus has provided us a model, and this is what we are to follow. Let me invite you to stand together. Let's pray. Oh God, today we can say on the pattern of Christ, our Master and our Teacher, let Your name be holy. Let Your name be hallowed. Let Your character and Your identity and all that You are, oh God, be set apart to a sacred place, a special place in our lives. Oh God, let us esteem You highest above all. Let this be the starting point for understanding our own existence. And let this be, Lord, what drives everything that we do. Let Let your name, who you are, what you've done, oh God, let it be the first thought on our minds when we awake, and let it be the last thought on our minds when we go to sleep. And let it crop up all throughout the day, every waking moment. Lord, let our thoughts be upon You and upon Your greatness. Lord, as we prepare ourselves now to come to Your table in a few moments, sift through our thoughts, lead us to confess sin, lead us in boldness to cling more nearly to Christ. We ask this in His name. Amen.